Acatra Foundation presents the Acatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Acatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into a really powerful memoir, one that's touched so many people. Tara Westover's Educated.
Mm.
And here's something that just stops you in your tracks. Tara Westover, when she was 17 years old, had genuinely never heard of the Holocaust.
Mm.
Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But then somehow, less than 10 years later, she gets a PhD from Cambridge University and writes this huge international bestseller. The journey is almost unbelievable.
It really is. And you know what makes her story so incredibly significant? It's not just her personal victory, right? It's how it shines a light on this tension we all sort of feel.
What kind of tension?
That pull between fierce family loyalty and, well, the need to grow as an individual. Between the beliefs you inherit and trying to think for yourself.
Right.
Her story is just this incredible chronicle of survival, of completely reinventing herself, and also the huge cost, the sometimes heartbreaking cost, of breaking free.
Yeah, and reading it, it forces you to face some really uncomfortable questions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
About, like, what truth even is.
Exactly.
And what knowledge actually costs you, what you might have to sacrifice to really understand yourself or the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's try and unpack this extraordinary transformation. Where did it all start for Tara?
Well, her story begins out at Buck's Peak in Idaho. She was the youngest of seven kids, growing up in this fundamentalist Mormon survivalist family.
Survivalist.
Yes. Her father, Gene, he had this deep paranoia. He was absolutely convinced that the days of abomination, that's his term for a kind of end of days scenario within his beliefs, were just around the corner.
Oh.
And this shaped everything. He was deeply suspicious of the government, of public schools, modern medicine, you name it.
So what did that mean day to day? Extreme isolation.
Totally extreme. She didn't have a birth certificate, never went to school, not for a single day. Medical care, non-existent. It was all replaced by her mother Faye's herbal remedies. She was quite knowledgeable about herbs, actually.
Like still.
But still, life was dangerous, really dangerous, working in her dad's junkyard. Tara learned to operate, you know, heavy machinery way before she could even read properly.
And that isolation, it's just staggering. Like you said, not knowing about the Holocaust or World War II until college.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible for most of us to even imagine that level of, well, disconnect.
It really shows you how sealed off her world was. But, you know, even in that environment, little seeds of change started to take root.
How so?
Well, Tara taught herself to read, mostly using religious texts, because that's what was available. And then, crucially, her older brother, Tyler.
Ah, right. You mentioned him, the one who loved music.
That's the one. He secretly loved music, and eventually, he did leave for college. He saw something in Tara. He encouraged her, very subtly, to think beyond Buck's Peak. Taught her some basic math, a bit of grammar, all under the radar, because their father strongly disapproved. That was her first real hint that another world existed.
There was also a darker side to family influence, wasn't there? Another brother.
Yes. Her older brother, Sean. His influence was profound, but destructive. He was volatile, often violent. His abuse taught Tara this really terrible lesson.
Which was?
That she couldn't trust her own perception of reality, because the family, especially Sean and her parents, would just deny what happened, gaslight her.
So it wasn't just about learning facts later. It was about learning to trust her own mind again.
Exactly. It made her whole struggle for truth vastly more complicated.
Okay, so given this incredibly restrictive, damaging background, how on earth did she make the leap from that isolation to university?
It really came down to two things. Tyler's example, seeing him leave, and just desperation to get away from Sean's abuse, which was getting worse.
So what did she do?
She made this huge decision completely in secret, got hold of some ACT prep books, and just taught herself, studied relentlessly.
Even with her father against it.
Oh, yeah. He was scornful. Apparently, he even called her a terrible name, a whore, just for wanting to leave, for wanting education.
Unbelievable.
But her determination, her sheer perseverance, it worked. She got into Brigham Young University, BYU. She was 17.
And stepping onto that campus, I mean, the culture shock must have been immense.
Profound. Just profound. She was completely unprepared, academically, socially, just adrift.
And that led to the Holocaust incident.
Yes. It happened in a Western civilization class. She just genuinely didn't know the word, so she asked for a definition.
In front of everyone.
In front of everyone. The shame she felt in that moment. She describes it as searing. but it became this powerful catalyst. It lit this absolute fire under her, a desperate need to learn everything.
It's fascinating, though, how that very education, the thing that was saving her, was also driving this wedge.
Oh, absolutely. A painful schism, as you say. Every new concept she learned.
Like what?
Well, things like negative versus positive liberty, you know, freedom from versus freedom to, or feminism, or even just the language to understand psychological trauma.
Ah, so giving names to things she experienced.
Exactly. It gave her new frameworks. Suddenly, her father's control wasn't just dad being dad. It looked like tyranny. Sean's actions weren't just moods. It was undeniably abuse.
That must have been terrifying and validating all at once.
And incredibly difficult. She talks about intense imposter syndrome, constantly feeling like she didn't belong, like she'd be found out.
And visits home.
Increasingly tense. Heartbreaking, really. Her family, especially her father and Sean, saw her education as hostile, a betrayal of them, their way of life, everything they stood for.
Yet somehow, she thrived academically through all this.
Amazingly, yes. She excelled at BYU. And it was a professor there, a Dr. Carey, who really saw her potential, her unique mind, and pushed her.
Pushed her towards?
Towards applying for Cambridge.
Cambridge University in England.
Yeah. And she got in. Her time there was completely life-changing. She won the Gates Scholarship, hugely prestigious, went on to do an MPhil, then a PhD in history.
Incredible.
Even got a visiting fellowship at Harvard. And she found a key mentor at Cambridge, Professor Jonathan Steinberg. He really validated her, saw her unusual background, not as a deficit, but as a source of unique insight.
And all this led eventually to the book, Educated,
which came out in 2018, and it just exploded. Immediate international bestseller. It really established her as a major literary voice.
And she became an advocate too, right, for education access.
Yes, she really bridges that gap between serious academic work and, you know, talking to a wider audience about the power of education.
But maybe the most significant part of her later story, even more than the book's success, was that final confrontation with her family.
That was the absolute crux of it, over Sean's abuse.
What happened there?
It was devastating. She confided in her sister, Audrey, and initially Audrey actually backed her up, confirmed she'd suffered similar abuse from Sean.
Okay, so she had an ally.
For a moment. But then, under intense pressure from the rest of the family, Audrey completely retracted her story, left Tara totally isolated.
Oh, no.
It forced Tara into this impossible position. She had to choose. Either go along with her family's version of reality, their denial, or stand by her own truth, her own experience, knowing it would mean cutting ties, losing them.
And she chose her truth.
She did. She walked away. An incredibly painful decision, obviously, but ultimately it was this profound act of self-reclamation, the final necessary step to becoming herself, free from their narrative.
So we've traced this incredible, often brutal journey. Let's step back now. What's the driving force here? What are the core ideas, the philosophy that emerged from all this?
Well, I think at its heart, Tara's philosophy sees education not just as, you know, learning facts and figures. It's an act of liberation.
Liberation?
Yeah, self-creation.
Right.
It's about developing what you might call critical consciousness, the ability to really question the beliefs you inherit, and crucially, to build your own worldview based on evidence, on reason, and on your own lived experience.
So moving from certainty to complexity.
Exactly that. She moved from the very rigid black and white certainties of her childhood to embracing nuance, ambiguity, complexity. She understands that truth is often messy, complicated.
Right.
So she advocates for like rigorous intellectual honesty, but combined with emotional honesty about what that pursuit of knowledge can cost you personally.
And her motivations seemed to change over time, too, didn't they?
Definitely. Initially, it was pure escape, right? Escape from danger, from abuse.
Understandable.
Then after that Holocaust incident, it became this almost ravenous hunger for knowledge itself.
Fueled by the shame.
Fueled by the shame, yeah. But ultimately, I think it deepened into something else. A need for self-understanding. For making sense of her past. And for authenticity. Just the will to exist fully as herself on her own terms.
And her approach to dealing with all the adversity.
It's remarkable. You see this incredible physical toughness forged in that junkyard.
Right, that endurance.
But also this fierce intellectual tenacity, just relentlessly attacking things she didn't understand in the library, often totally alone.
Yeah.
And you see her evolve from sort of internalizing blame, thinking it was her fault, to questioning things outwardly, critically. But in the end, her ultimate strategy was, well, strategic retreat, self-preservation. realizing that walking away was the only way to maintain her integrity, maybe even survive.
Thinking back on the whole story, were there specific moments like hinges that just dramatically changed everything for her?
Oh, absolutely. There are these moments that act like fault lines, you know, where the ground shifts beneath her and her life's direction is permanently altered.
Okay, let's pinpoint maybe three of those. What about that decision way back to secretly study for the ACT? It seems so small almost, but so huge.
It was monumental. That quiet act of buying a textbook and studying, that was her very first concrete move towards a different reality. It wasn't just about a test score.
Yeah.
It was this profound act of quiet rebellion against her father's whole ideology, a desperate bid for self-preservation, really.
And how did actually doing it and succeeding change her?
It proved something fundamental to herself, that she could do it, that she had academic ability. It opened the door literally to BYU, but more importantly, it made her the agent in her own story, not just someone things happened to.
Okay, turning point one, taking the ACT. What about number two? That Holocaust classroom incident feels critical.
Absolutely critical. So picture it. She's in this big lecture hall at BYU. She genuinely has no idea what the Holocaust is. She raises her hand, asks the professor.
The silence must have been
crushing, I imagine. It wasn't just personal embarrassment. It was this brutal public unveiling of the sheer depth of her ignorance. It showed her starkly the massive gulf between her world and the one she'd just entered. It shattered any illusion she might have had.
And the impact of that specific moment, how did that change her path?
That shame, that raw shame, became rocket fuel. It ignited this absolutely ferocious determination to learn, to catch up, to understand. It shifted her whole view of education. It wasn't just an escape route anymore.
It became
essential, essential to being a conscious human being in the world. It made her relentless.
Okay. ACT, Holocaust incident. What's the third pivotal moment? That final confrontation seems unavoidable.
The confrontation over Sean's abuse, specifically Audrey's retraction, that felt like the point of no return.
Walk us through that again. Why was it so decisive?
Tara opens up to her sister, Audrey, about Sean's violence. Audrey initially says, "Yes, me too. It happened to me." Tara feels this glimmer of hope. Maybe truth can heal things.
Right, validation.
But then, under intense family pressure, denial, threats, manipulation, who knows exactly what Audrey completely backtracks, says it didn't happen, calls Tara a liar, leaves her utterly alone.
The ultimate betrayal.
Absolutely. It destroyed that hope that they could find common ground in truth. It proved to Tara, definitively, that the family's loyalty was to their constructed narrative, their denial, not to her, not to reality.
And that forced the final break.
It forced her hand. She had to accept she couldn't change them. Staying meant colluding in the lie, erasing herself. It led directly to the estrangement, but also, paradoxically, to her finally claiming her own life, her own story, her own self. That was the moment she chose herself, unequivocally.
So, having walked through her life, her ideas, these turning points, what does it all mean for us, for someone listening today, navigating their own complexities?
Well, I think when you connect Tara's very specific story to the bigger picture, you find these profound universal insights. They really resonate no matter what your own background is. First, I think, is that education truly is self-creation. It's not just about jobs or degrees. It's about becoming. It gives you new ways to see, new perspectives, to reinterpret your past and actually shape your future.
And the family aspect, that's huge.
It really is. Her story highlights the incredible courage it can take to redefine family. That sometimes real self-respect, even self-preservation, means drawing boundaries or even walking away entirely from relationships that are fundamentally toxic, no matter how agonizing that choice is.
It challenges that idea that family loyalty is always the highest virtue.
Absolutely. Then there's the idea that reality itself is, well, malleable. Our sense of what's real is so deeply shaped by the stories we're told, the narratives we live inside.
So critical thinking becomes essential.
Vital to dismantle the narratives that harm us and to consciously build more authentic ones for ourselves and also the past. It's never really gone, is it?
No.
Healing isn't about forgetting or erasing. It's more about integrating those experiences, those imprints into who you are now, hopefully making you stronger, more whole.
And resilience. She embodies it, but is it just something you have or don't?
Her story suggests it can absolutely be developed. It's a skill, maybe, more than just a fixed trait. It's cultivated through sheer perseverance, yes, but also, importantly, through finding support, even if it's just one person, like Tyler or Dr. Carey.
It feels incredibly relevant today, doesn't it? In this age of misinformation, filter bubbles, intense polarization.
Definitely. Her journey is like this powerful modern parable, a call for critical thinking, for questioning the beliefs we just inherit without examining them, for engaging honestly with different perspectives, even the ones that make us uncomfortable. And it leaves us with a really important question, I think. How do we actually cultivate that as individuals, as a society, that kind of intellectual humility, that courage to seek truth, even when it might demand that we change, fundamentally change?
Okay, let's try to boil this incredible story down. If you had to pick three final powerful takeaways from Tara's life and from Educated, what would they be?
Right, three core insights, one emotional, one intellectual, one universal. Okay, first the emotional insight. The deepest freedom can come with the deepest grief. Tara's story reveals that gut-wrenching sorrow of choosing yourself when it means losing people you love, even people who've hurt you profoundly. Liberation isn't meat. It's tangled up with loss.
That mix of love and pain, liberation and loss.
Then, an intellectual insight. Education isn't about what to think. It's about how to think. It's about acquiring new frameworks, new languages to understand the world and yourself. For Tara, learning about things like bipolar disorder or even historiography, how history gets written.
Right. Not just history, but how history is told.
Exactly. That wasn't just academic learning. Those were survival tools. They let her re-narrate her own chaotic past, make sense of it, turn it into a story she could actually comprehend and survive. It underscores how vital critical thinking is. Questioning sources, weighing evidence, maintaining that healthy skepticism.
Okay, emotional grief of freedom, intellectual power of frameworks. What's the universal one?
The universal insight is perhaps the most powerful. Your origins do not have to dictate your destiny. The self isn't fixed at birth. It's something you actively create, you build. Educated is this ultimate testament to our human capacity for transformation. Mm. It proves you can build a new identity, a new mind, a new life. Peace by painful peace, even if you feel utterly alone doing it. And that challenges all of us, doesn't it?
So
it makes you ask, what limiting beliefs am I holding on to? Maybe out of loyalty or just fear. What knowledge, what truths am I avoiding because facing them might force me to change?
Powerful questions to end on. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.